Amen. Well, I should feel better. All this crying I'm doing this morning. With Stephanie's song and that particular song, just like she said, she had a story. That song means a lot to Cindy and I. It's part of many of our prayers have been with that. So just a word there. We're in James chapter 1 this morning. Verses 22 through 25. And I want to say a word before we stand for our scripture reading. Today is the day to pray for the persecuted Church of Jesus Christ around our world. This day is set aside for that. There are brothers and sisters that are part of the family of God who live in places where it is not as comfortable as it is for us. I read last night as... this was brought to my attention in North Korea, where if you get caught with a Bible, you end up in jail for 15 years. And they talked about how they would go out in the middle of a lake, and then they would open, you know, up their backpacks and dig deep. Only when they were assured they were alone, they would take out the old worn Bible. Because Bibles are so precious and they're so rare and they're all falling apart because they've been used so much. And it told a story of another ship came by and they said, oh no, they're freaking out. You know, they're going to come arrest us. And a person yelled out, no, hey, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. And they came and they just gave them a big bunch of Bibles. And they took those Bibles. And it said that they took the old Bibles that were falling apart and they tried to hide them in this motel, but it was discovered that another small group of Christians, four of them that had never seen a Bible, took those old Bibles and used them. So Bibles were precious. And as we have our scripture and as I pray, I want us to remember those Christians that are our family in other parts of the world as they are suffering merely because they love Jesus. And what he's done for them. So let's, James 1, 22 through 25, if you will stand in our great God's honor. Now read aloud. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Let's pray. Father, we come to you, Lord, grateful that your kind of love doesn't just merely talk about. They need a Savior. Your kind of love sent a Savior. And He died for me and for each of us. He did something so we might know You. Thank You for that, God. We want to lift up our brothers and sisters all over the world, those who are suffering because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And God, I just ask that they would be vividly aware that You are with them. And that You are guiding them. And Lord, I just pray You would work in miraculous ways to protect them and to work in their hearts to spread the gospel. And Father, I just thank You for them because, Lord, it's very humbling as I look at how they love You and how little I do sometimes, Lord. I pray that the Spirit of God would continue to move. And God, I wouldn't cut the Spirit off as I felt Him so far. And that we would hear from You. And Lord, we just want to worship You, God. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The old evangelist Vance Havner used to say, there are many in church that get just enough religion to become inoculated from Christianity. It's like a vaccination of just enough church that you don't hear the gospel. That you are not awakened to the fact that you need a Savior. You get just enough church that you miss Christ. You see, the old devil, he really doesn't care if what you believe doesn't change how you behave. When you get a hold of the truth of the gospel and Jesus grabs a hold of your heart and he saves you and transforms you, man, you can't be the same person. The way you behave will change and will ultimately be transformed. I want you to notice here as we look in James chapter 1, as you come to the very first verse of James chapter 1, how he describes himself. He says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that word servant could literally also be translated slave. You see, guys, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, He is not one just to give you an opinion or some advice that you might consider, but we need to understand He is our Master and we belong to Him. We were bought with a price. He is not merely one to guide us. He is our guide. He is not merely one who offers a type of hope. He is hope. He is not merely a way, He is the way. He is not merely a truth, He is the truth. He is not merely a life, He's the life. And as we consider Christ, we consider His words in Luke 6, verse 46, where He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" And He uses two pictures here to describe this. The first picture is that of a schoolroom or classroom. And as you look at the word here in verse 22, in my translation, he says, "Do not merely listen to the word." The word "listen" here is a word that is translated into our language to mean audit. It is the picture of going to school and auditing a class. Now here's the deal: when you audit a class, it's a picture of someone who's pumped up to get the information and to listen attentively, but there are no tests involved. And I have to admit, in a lot of ways, that sounds really good to me, because I didn't like tests. I always felt like they didn't prove the extent of what I had learned. In other words, I didn't have the best grades at times. But the word here is auditing that class. You're sitting in that class, that same information is available to you, but you don't have to take those pop quizzes. You don't have to study for those tests. You don't have to turn in papers in order to get a grade. So, I mean, it sounds good in one sense because, man, I am getting the information. But here's the problem. You also do not get a degree or a diploma. You don't get any evidence that what you've learned is going to be usable in a job. And so the picture here is, it's not just a, man, I'm really plugged in and I'm really listening. No, the picture here is that it will become more than knowledge. It will become wisdom. And what wisdom is, it is the application of spiritual knowledge. In other words, man, it's not just going in here. It's going in here and it's coming out here through my feet and my hands and through everything that I do. Don't just merely listen to it. Don't just sit in the classroom. It's time to get out into the real world with it. Matter of fact, one commentator described it like this. He said, it's just a lot easier to date the church. In fact, maybe I'll date more than one church at a time. Sure, there's some attractive churches to date, but you can't find a perfect one, so I don't want to get married. I don't want to settle down. I don't want to spend time or money paying the mortgage or fixing up the place or serving the needs of the people who might come through there. I just want to date. I don't want to be committed. But when we come to Christ, it's not something we take flippantly or superficially. You see, He was all in at Calvary. And when He saves us, the call is to be all in to Him. To be His slaves. To be His servants. You see, the next part of this where he says, do what it says, it's present participle, which means keep on doing what it says. It's not enough to say, I've been to church, or I've heard the gospel, or I've heard the truth of God. It's I am hearing that truth of God, and it's moving me. It's transforming me. It's changing me. It's given me something to live for, or someone ultimately to live for, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's basically saying here, it's not enough to audit me. You got to let my life be your life. That is the ultimate teaching. And he says here, man, if you're just auditing me, you're just living a deception. Look at the scripture here. He says, and so deceive yourselves. In other words, you're just playing a game and you're missing out. You're just getting a small taste, but you're missing the depth of what God wants you to have. You see, there are some that say, well, this is speaking about the unbelievers. This is not about the church of God. This is talking about those who do not know Christ. But I don't believe that is ultimately what James is talking about in this letter, in this book. He is not comparing those who know Christ and those who don't know Christ. But he just talked about in the earlier part we had read here in James chapter 1. He's talking about the immature, the childish, those who have not grown up in Christ. And he is making a plea here. He is saying, I want you to be mature. Stop living off of baby food and get a hold of the meat of the Word of God, that God may grab you and He may grow you. The word here, do what it says. that verb, that word is a word that's taken from the word we get our word poem from. It is a picture of creativity. It is a picture of being a unique person, but giving all that you are to all that He is. And to being sold out in such a way that the way God has crafted and formed you is His. For His purposes and for His use. And then there's a second picture we want to look at here, guys. It is the picture of the dressing room. Let's look at it again in verses 23 and 24. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Now the picture, sometimes in the scripture, especially in, you know, I'm used to the 1978, they keep changing the NIV and updating it, but you know, now a lot of times they'll say men and woman, or you know, to try to give that inclusive part, and a lot of times, you know, in the way of thinking I'm accustomed to, when it says man, it's mankind, it's everybody. But in this particular case, the context, when a man looks in a mirror, I believe it's talking about a man looking in the mirror instead of a woman looking in the mirror, and there's a difference, at least most of the time. When a man looks in the mirror, it's like, I just want to make sure there's not green stuff in my teeth or something like that. But it's just real quick, you know, it's just a glance. You know, glance and I'm gone. But now, most of the ladies I know, it's not a glance, it's a gaze. We're going to look in that mirror. I don't have enough hair to do that. And, you know, get a good look and, oh God, there's a Z or something, you know. And I mean, to gaze and to look closely. and so the picture he's saying here, don't do that with the Word of God. Don't do that with the truth of God. Don't, like the guys, don't just glance at it and go, oh, not too bad. You know, it should be more like the lady says, oh my, this needs some work. This needs some serious attention. And so it is with God. The Holy Spirit gets a hold of us. Don't just glance at it. Gaze at where you are. And let God grab a hold of you that He may change you to be more like Jesus Christ. That's what He's talking about here, guys. Look at verse 25. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. says it's not the guy that just takes a glance or the gal that just takes a glance. Look intently. Look deeply into God's truth. And let God grab a hold of you. Let Him change you by the power of the Spirit of God. That's what He's talking about here. And the way that this occurs is not by, I've got it together. It's the picture here is of humility. Man, the longer I look, the more I realize I need Jesus. I need Him not just before I met Him. I need Him until I see Him face to face in heaven. I need Him. And He says that the guy who does this, notice how it ends there, will be blessed in what he does. What is the blessing? You see how deep the gospel, the love of God is. You see that I don't care what I've done, He loves me. And I don't care where I've been, He's not going to abandon me. Or I don't care where I am now, He's still there. And He's still calling to me. Man, this is the depth of the love of God. And when you get a hold of that, and when you see that clearly, how could you not run to Him? Guys, He's not seeking to condemn you. The reason you feel uneasy is you're not as close to Him as He wants you to be. And He knows that hurts you. And it hurts His heart too. And He just wants you to come close. To look intently into the Word of God. To do what it says. F.B. Meyer, a preacher of another generation. Here's words he wrote from a commentary I read. I used to think that God's blessings were on shelves one above the other. And that the taller we grew in character, the easier we could reach them. I now find that God's gifts are on the shelves one beneath the other. And it is not a question of growing taller, but stooping lower. And that we have to go down, always down, as we mature to get the best of His gifts. To get the best of His gifts. I always think of Psalm 139, how it ends. Most of Psalm 139, I know in the NIV, except the last two verses. I love the old King James translation of it. David, he says this, he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So what's he doing? David is inviting God to look at. Now he sees you. He sees me. There's no hiding from God. But sometimes we act as if I can hide. Spiritual maturity comes. The blessings He wants to give are received when we're willing not to reach up, but to stoop down and to receive Jesus. The salvation He brings at the cross and the salvation He continues to bring as we are willing to humble ourselves before Him. Now, remember what He says in the Scriptures, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. He will exalt you, and that occurs when you are willing to humble yourself. There was another preacher during the time of F.B. Meyer who loved the Lord, and Charles Spurgeon, all his preachers have to, you know, quote Spurgeon. He used to refer to this guy as the saintliest man he ever knew. And in Robert Chapman's biography, he was giving advice to a missionary that was headed out to a strange land. And it was just a couple of words. His advice was simply this: keep low, look up, and press forward. Good advice. Keep low. Be willing to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Look up, because your help it comes from the hills. It comes from the Lord where he resides, not from us. And just press forward. I know we all at times want to give up, but don't. Man, don't you think that that night before the resurrection, the people of God weren't bummed out? And don't you think even as they headed toward that grave, they weren't depressed? They thought it was over. They were just going to do their duty. There was no hope. There was nothing. But when they came to the grave and they saw the stone had been rolled away and they received that message from the angels, He is not here. He is risen. And guys, He is still risen. He is still alive. He is still our God. And it is not enough just to audit Him. We must let His transforming presence make us like Jesus. Do what it says. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for Your transforming Word. I thank You, Father, for what Your Word says in 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The Spirit of God, we don't want to be in Your way in this time we call invitation or response. Father, we want our hearts to be open to You if You call us to this altar to pray. We want our hearts to be open to You if You call us to come and make a public decision before Your people here today. Father, maybe it's for salvation. Maybe it's just for a rededication to follow through, to be baptized, that step of obedience that identifies with Jesus and His people. Father, whatever the call may be, we just ask, O God, that we would be willing to humble ourselves and to look up and to come forward for You. Have Your way, Master, in a holy time before us as we do business with You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.